Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name's Dan Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And today we are joined by DIY theater editor Danielle Levski, as well as Raheem Salam and Ben Maroney from What About Chicago?
What about Chicago?
Yes. Okay, so I know that y'all already have talked a bit about like origin stuff, but I want to ask you about this because where does the name come from?
Oh, so we, you know, as a very young person liking confrontation a little more than I do now, I always been a super fan, super, you know, Chicago centric, because I always thought we had great talent that kind of got you know unnoticed, and I'd go to events and kids were making all kinds of great records and tapes and really like putting their own money, losing money, you know, nobody was buying them, nobody was playing them. So I'd go to events, local DJs, you know, they're all swagger fun, and I'm like, they're playing like, you know, the Billboard top 30 at a DIY show. And I'm like, hey, DJ, what about Chicago? Play some Chicago shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's always been in my head my whole life from there. Like, it was spontaneous. I was mad. And I was like, what about Chicago? You know? So I was kind of like, hey, you know, like a mean thing. Well, now it's like
a rhetorical.
Oh my God, what about Chicago? It's so great. Like, oh, haven't you heard? So
One of the things I really appreciate about your work is your ability to have like a 3 or 4 word phrase turn into an entire concept, which is, I just like, I don't know other artists that are able. Is that like a conscious thing or is that just...
No, I mean, I think we kind of roll in, like, sometimes he's got phrases, too, and I don't know if I can pop them off.
We have phrases that, like, come and go, and, like, we're kind of silly people in general, so I think it's, like, we'll just get excited about something and keep using it and think it's funny.
But, I mean, the origin of it wasn't meant that way, but I do think when deciding to do the podcast and what to name it, it fit. Because it was simple, it seemed kind of catchy, and it was directly to the point of what, you know, the content is. So
yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, one of the things that I think we keep talking about recently is this idea of, like, flexibility, and it's meant different things for different people, but that kind of what you're speaking to is really interesting in that regard, because that, like, flexibility to let things evolve, like, is that something that you've found easy, or is a conscious thing of, do you know what I mean? Like,
I think we do. We practice this artistic practice called amateur arts. So everything kind of with us, most things, I shouldn't say everything, everything kind of starts off as a, like, let's do it and see if it sticks. And sometimes those things evolve later. Sometimes they go by the wayside.
Yeah, so often we're just kind of like seeing what happens in a time frame or like with an idea, and so we're not really resistant to letting things evolve as much as we're not pushing it necessarily.
Yeah,
maybe that's a little zen. Yeah. I don't know.
It's organic. It just is organic.
So I'm interested. We've kind of launched into the deep end, but I'm curious. Like, you know, some people listening to this are like, what the fuck is What About Chicago?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, could y'all talk about, like, what is What About Chicago?
Yeah, so What About Chicago is your weekly show exploring live art, music, entertainment, and culture. All in the city, of course. What we typically do in an episode is we talk about a week's worth of events. So we do a couple extras on the weekends because there's so much fun to be had. And then we just take one walk per day on the rest of the week.
You know, because you got to go to work and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we interview pretty much anyone that we're, like, excited about and interested in what they're doing, whether it's an artist, a comedian, actress or actor, musician or activist.
Cool. We're willing to have anyone in the arts, anyone involved in the culture of things, of humans, of neighborhoods.
We have a little phrase we always say give us all of your art.
All of your art, yeah.
And that's like a life thing that just also comes out through the show and how we produce and air it every Friday.
Yeah. Nice. I have a quick question to follow up to that. As the DIY theater editor, and we've talked about this a little bit too, I've noticed more and more lately you've been covering more theater and performance art oriented stuff. Can you talk a little bit about that and as to why you've gone in that direction?
I want to say it's all like intentional. Some of it is, like we were talking about earlier, organic, and just kind of as individuals going to see more of this, we're just like meeting the people and having the conversations and being like, oh, I never knew about this. Like, you should come on and tell everyone else who might not know, which is very much in the ethos of the origin of the show.
Right. You know, I mean, we're musicians, and a lot of, you know, from being musicians, primarily, like, a lot of the connections or the relationships we make are in music. But doing the show and being super fan, I mean, I'm a huge theater fan. I'm a huge classical music fan. I'm a huge dance fan. Huge comedy fan.
Cool.
So, you know, not only do we go to these events and try to support a lot of that, but a lot of times we can't get out. This show, over the years, which is amazing, it's given us the opportunity to get to know a lot more people in all walks of life, get a little deeper. You know, we've had theater people on before, but yes, it is, the connections are getting a little deeper. We're, you know, like we say, we don't know anything. We still don't know shit. You know what I mean?
True.
But we're always trying to reach deeper and deeper, go deeper into neighborhoods, deeper into the different genres and cultures. And that's what I think you're seeing now. Mm-hmm. It's manifesting itself a little more. We're getting more variety. And, you know.
That's something that super resonates with me because, so, Daniel and I, our background is in classical music. We're both trained opera singers. Mm-hmm. And, like, our you know, kind of origin story with this is that we just were interviewing our friends after the 2016 election, doing, you know, using their art to make some noise about stuff. And it has become so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And we've learned so much about all this different stuff. And
right.
what we find is that, you know, in our conversations with people and in the types of folks that we have in genre and in experience, we kind of have started to notice like trends, like kind of era, like this sounds weird, but like eras of kind of questions that we ask. And and I'm wondering, like, is that something that you've also found, that like for some reason, like over the course of a couple weeks, you find yourself like ruminating on the same things and asking similar questions?
Well, yes and no. I mean, when you said eras, that struck me because, like, a small example that I mean, that goes on in all genres. Like, I think another reason why we've had a lot of theater, because theater's popping right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of folks doing things in a lot of parts of town. It, you know, and it's getting summer, and I don't know if that's like super theater season, but
oh, yeah. We're going to perform outside.
We're just now getting hip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, that's just kind of how the wave rolls, you know, and just naturally, I think, you get into certain things.
Yeah. I think also a lot of it is the nature of our show and how really we're just trying to get the artist to paint the broadest picture of what they're doing at that time. So I think we do end up asking a lot of the same questions because it's like, you know, trying to get the same background image and the story of how they got from their origin to where they're at now and the details of their different releases or productions or whatever. So I would say maybe 60-70% of the questions are like somewhat regular and standard.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like we
in
do
a
have,
positive way.
We do have times though it'll be like 4 weeks in a row of musicians. Like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of comedians. Then, you know, 3 weeks of theater people, you know, like it kinda I don't know, and I don't know, it certainly isn't on purpose, but I think it may be because once you, it's like going down a rabbit hole, but in a good way. Like,
yeah.
Like you meet one person, you meet another person. So, you know, similar to how all of us kind of, you know, got together. It's like you do one thing, you know, this person, it leads to another thing, you know, and it's degrees of separate, like I love Scappy magazine. I didn't know, you know, at first y'all was involved in it. Great job. You know, everybody. and vice versa, you know, like, so it's been great. And then I've met people through y'all that doing other things. So yeah, you get kind of in down that good rabbit hole. Because don't they usually, isn't that usually like a bad kind of, like, I'm in the rabbit hole, man. Like,
that's sad that it has a bad connotation, because Alice in Wonderland is such like a beautiful story of adventure and, well, it's a little mania too.
Yeah, I think that there are good rabbit holes and bad rabbit holes. I think that it depends on the character of rabbit that you're dealing with. You know?
True.
Do you find that like going down a rabbit hole thing is your interests or like the people that are coming to you?
Both. I would say it's both.
I'd say it's totally because like I'm down. Like I want to know everybody. Like yeah, I want to know everything that's going on. So if somebody can steer me to it, I'm going.
Raheem
like,
will say yes to anything ever asked.
I'm like yeah, let's go. Let's see it. What's that? Let me hear about it.
But I think it's like the combination because it's our interest. Like Raheem said, we're going to more theater now, for example. And so we're both friendly cats, like we'll just talk and like it'll come up and okay, you're available, you wanna come do it, like great, let's do it. Booking guests can be, I mean, I'm sure y'all know, very convoluted and like to the last minute.
Well, and
process.
Everybody has a different way of doing it too. Like the guests have a different way of like scheduling themselves.
Mm. Yes.
So it's like you have to in a lot of ways be super flexible with how you communicate with people.
Yeah, I'm the person with Scoppy that does all of the scheduling, and like I can tell you, I can attest to the fact that like people handle scheduling very differently.
They wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when I say they, I mean me too. Like it's all, it's just wild.
It's always crazy. Like difficult for me because I'll try and book out in advance, but like some people can't book more than a week in advance or whatever. So it's like, do I want to miss out on this like one group of artists because I'm trying to get my life together? Like,
do you guys ever have like no shows? Or like can't, like no call, no show?
Yeah.
Well, so what we do, does that happen with you?
What's that?
Does that happen with
It's happened, was it once or twice?
Yeah, most of our cancels are either like,
we get canceled,
a day before or like 40 minutes before, you know?
Yeah, no, so what'll happen with us is we just have some, this has been happening more recently where people will just forget. And like,
well, that's
valid.
Yeah, because I'm wild. Like
I follow up on them. I do like a 2 week follow up and like a 3 day follow up.
It helps me so much with like the schedules. Otherwise, yeah, I might be that dude.
I try to be that guy. So like a week out. You still coming? Okay, cool. And then 3 days out, I'll be like, oh, I forgot to tell you. You know, when you get here, just come in or something like
keeping
that.
Those lines
yeah, keeping
open.
The communication flowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought you were like being like stop.
No,
sorry, but no, it's really hard. We've actually just changed the way that we schedule things, just because, like. A lot of my responsibilities with Scummy is just, like, chasing people down. And so what I've started doing is I send people a link to, like, a page that syncs with our calendars. And I'm just like, pick a time.
Ooh, that's a good look.
That's a good look.
Yeah.
All right. Send that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Oh, my God. It is a godsend. I am so, like, the first person to schedule a podcast using that, like I got like the ping the other day and I was like, this is so much better.
Well, it's called Calendly.
Yeah.
I think we should just plug it on
the
show.
It's called
Calendly, if you're looking for sponsors, like to give out sponsorships.
Oh my God, Calendly. I would love to be brought to you by Calendly. Because Because honestly, the show from now on is brought to you by Calendly.
Right?
Yeah. Like, just like in practice.
Whether they know it or not.
Exactly. Right. Like, they're sponsoring our podcast, just not with money.
Something I found to be really helpful is, like, one day I was just feeling some type of way, and I
what, you've been watching Love and Hip Hop or something?
Yeah, dude.
And then some. Is that actually what it is? Yeah.
No, I don't watch TV.
No, he don't. He don't even have.
But I wrote like a pre-production email that I send as soon as I book a guest. That's like four paragraphs. It's
they what never read it.
Yeah, I know they read it like 30% of the time. But when they do read it, it's helpful because it's like the air schedule of the show and what the show is in case they've never listened and how to get to the house and just like all the stuff that makes it seem real easy on them.
Yeah.
No, that's like half of like, it's so, by the way, I like love that this is just turning into like a scheduling woes podcast.
It's
episode.
Well, it's really
like
this.
But like, we clearly, this is,
that's what it is. That's the hardest part of it.
When you're sitting down. We needed it, you know? But like, most of the way that I communicate with people is just like a checklist that I have in my head of telling them that we record in Andersonville, telling them that we have cats, telling them the gate code, and then like, and then once we, and then remembering that, okay, I only give out, what's up?
You're good.
Oh, sorry. Only giving out the address once we've confirmed, just so that I'm not like, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just like this internal checklist that I have, and so like a pre-production email.
It's great.
Yeah. I kind of have that on Calendly, where like all of the information that I usually have to remember to tell people, I just have in a blurb above all the available time slots. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in Andersonville. There are cats. Here's the gate code. Please just figure it out for me.
Can I just say how awesome it is to hear podcast hosts commiserate about all the behind-the-scenes shit that goes on with podcasts? I think that is so cool, and I'm so glad you're talking about this.
Honestly, it's a therapy session in a way, because I was like, am I just bad at scheduling? Like, that it's this frustrating?
No. People.
I think it's valid. A valid conversation that people would like to hear, because people ask me all the time about, oh, how do you do it? I'm like, it's easy. You just do it.
Yeah.
You just like get your computer. Yeah. Get some mics. Do it.
But
these are the things that we, when you stick with it.
Yes.
Yeah. This is actually really day in, day out, into my like next kind of thing, which is a concept I just made up last episode, which it's not a concept. This concept definitely exists, but like it's definitely my next like theme that I'm exploring conceptually, which is the idea of quantity producing, like doing something so often that it is like, you know, and because I think that when like the concept of quantity has like such a connotation with like versus quality, and like I don't think that's true at all, because I think that it's just, it comes down to like a different way of thinking about that. But kind of like in this vein, my first kind of question with that thing is, you know, your show is a weekly show. It's very quantity driven. But it's also like the quality is a very important factor. Do you find yourself thinking more about the quality of the individual show, or do you find yourself thinking more about the quality of, like, when you self-analyze and self-critique, basically, like, do you find yourself thinking more about the quality of your work as a host?
Well, I think he's more quality, I'm more quantity. I think we both have both aspects in us, definitely.
Yeah,
like we both enjoy both.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ben Maroney would lean on the side of quality.
Oh, God, it kills me sometimes.
I'm like, yo, like, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, more last minute guests. Let's go. Like, he stopped wanting to do that now. You know, like, he's like, last minute guests. He's like, no, wants no part of it, you know? And I'm like, look, what? Like, let's go. Like, they said they'd do this. Let's do it. And he's like, no, we have to prepare.
And
so we don't sound.
And it makes a better show.
And he's right. He's right.
And we do still have last minute guests sometimes.
I still battle with and I think you may have expressed this in, you know, in your question a little bit leading up to it, that I still think it's valuable and valid, even when I'm on the fly, kind of, you know, questioning or dealing with someone, because they don't, you know, I'm thinking from the origins of why I started this show is what I, is like, I don't know anything. I'm trying to find out mm-hmm. about artists. I'm trying to find out where there are events that sound fun that I can go to that are new, you know, people, you know, artists I haven't heard before, you know, things like that. So I think it's, in that sense, it's always valuable. Yes, and heads, the pros, you know, y'all might listen to it and be like, oh, right, you know, they sound like they didn't do their research. But like, you know, another person will be like, oh, wow, who's these guys, you know, so.
See, and I think also in regards to that question and like quality, I don't care as much about like the quality of the interview and the depth of the questions as much as like the sound quality is what mm-hmm. really bugs me. Like the editing where it's like still catching a little bit of the first word, or like, I don't want people to be able to tell where I've cut. And like, mm-hmm. if I can tell where I've cut, that just like kills me. Or like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're definitely quality with it. Cause I'm just like, play it loud. Play it loud.
When I started doing What About Chicago, it was Raheem with one mic and seven dudes like yeah. around the desk on one track with like a Radio Shack imitation 58, like,
yeah,
you know. And now and that's how I got involved in doing it, was like, let's multi-track this and let's EQ it. And that is what makes it hard, because like I have to make a lot of those concessions because mm-hmm. it's a weekly show, and like we have 1 2-hour period a week to edit.
This is super interesting to me, because I get it all the time. People ask me after the show, they're like, oh, like, what's your editing process like? And I'm weird in that my roots with production is wanting to just like put out as much work as possible. And that's very much how I've come to the Scoppy Radio Show, about like where I want to just put out podcast episodes as quickly as possible. And so that's kind of why I think I'm like resonating on this question, is because I know, as for me, like, it's only come to the point where like, how efficient can I get the recording to publishing space?
Right.
And
right,
that's right. Not what most people should do. Like, I don't think that that's like the way that, but it's just very much like what I've, and it's an insecurity yeah. of mine, where like, I know I've had audio files listen to the show and been like, oh, you know, like, I could tell that you don't have the right mic
placement. Turned out the 4K.
Yeah, that's
bullshit.
That
but like, yeah. The thing, like, you listen to like a Gimlet podcast, right? Or an NPR podcast, or any of these great things, S-Town, or any of these things. Mm-hmm. And each one of those episodes had 10 hours, 20 hours of editing go into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They transcribed all the text and rearranged it.
They're getting
and
paid.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Yeah. But also, I
it's
yeah,
like, do you want to pay me? Like, oh, you want me to make it perfect? Fine, pay me.
Yeah, exactly. Pay me.
No, but with the arts, like, you know, the amateur arts thing mm-hmm. we do, the music, that we definitely are like quantity, mm-hmm. like boom, boom, boom. Mm. Like, sound, I mean, we want it to sound good, but it's
yeah,
more
I gave
about
up that
the,
fight a while ago.
It's more of like the, no, it's quantity to get keep chiseled, as well as, you know, I always believe in something starting and maybe evolving or staying the same. You never know. And just making that effort, I think, is more important than mm-hmm. anything else.
And yeah, it's kind of something we like figure out with each episode. Like, if
well, that's why we have the format, too. The format's easier for editing, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I think we've had it that way. It's like, you know.
Because it's just, like, really, I know. It's how, the balance of how much are we going to try and force good sound versus let the interview, like, flow and be free. And at the end of the day, it's like whatever is going to make the guests comfortable and whatever yeah. is going to have us having the most fun, because like that's why we do it, to like chat with people we think are interesting.
And also that's why we do it in the living room of Hostel Euphoria.
Yes
because we do want that authentic spirit, you know, like we don't tell anybody to shut up. You know, there might be people coming through the front door. We do it in the dining room, basically, at the dining room table. You know, it looks like a super legit podcast studio in your dining room for like 3 hours.
Yeah, there's stuff where it's like, okay, you know, glad Matt was doing dishes. right. during
and the hollered first hop. Out. And he heard it and he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the back like, hey.
Woo. Like, and, you know, at some point, it's like, that's going to be in there. And
but that's you have to embrace it. Show.
And we do. We lean full into that. And
cool.
And I don't think anyone's listening to our podcast to
Period.
Hear. Well, shout out to the five listeners. We could depend on the five, my dude.
True.
But no, they're not listening to it for audio quality, in my opinion. They're just listening to it to know where the fun is, get that art appreciation, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, a good feeling.
No, that's something that again resonates with me is the idea of like, yeah, like we live in a city, like there's gonna be noise, there's gonna be stupid shit that you're gonna hear, like, you know, we're in a garden level apartment, our window is right up against the street, and like, you know, Clark Street's right there, like you're gonna hear noise. We have two cats, one of them's an asshole, you know. So like, we're like, you're there's gonna be stuff. And so
he just bit me.
no that did not happen. I don't want to
but I mean,
for libel.
For the record, Moody is asleep on someone's back.
Oh yeah. Good, perfect. But like, I think it's so important that like, yeah, sound quality is important. You know, it makes something... Like, there have been podcasts I've listened to where, like, the balance is, like, way off. And I'm like, I just can't listen to this. It's like... And so for that, to that level, I'm like, yeah, sound quality is important. But, like, in terms of, like, what makes a life and the noises associated with, like, having a life, like, you gotta just embrace it at a certain point.
Especially when it's, like... The thing of if you're thinking about it from the lens of a person that's like wanting to potentially start a podcast or like is a fledgling podcast, like a fledgling, you know what I mean? Where like they maybe have less capacity to understand like how to make a really high sound quality or how to do. And I think that for me is where I think y'all have been doing for this for 4 years, like we've been doing it for a year and a half, like being in a position to be like, okay, like at least we know that we'll hit our bar, you know, of like, okay, this was an okay, whatever, audio quality, whatever. But like to then flip that around and then shame other people that are just, you know, that I think that is an energy that I've kind of gathered from your work. But an energy that I think we need more of is not just being like, this is how you make a perfect sound thing, but like also like, how do we lift up each other, you know? And do you find that was something that like through your work that you've felt that energy around the people around you, or do you get what I'm asking? Like,
yeah. No, that's something that I have been taught. And in turn, do want to share along with others. What about Chicago, amateur arts, the hostile euphoria kind of approach and mantra is, you know, give us all of your art and let, like, do art, like, express yourself. Feel comfortable. Like, come through. We used to do an open mic hosting 2 times a week for, like, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And... you know, some of those weeks, boy, you'd be tired. You know, every week, you'd be hungry, you'd be sick. I was sick. And I said, I gotta do it. I just have to do it. And every time I went, I would be lifted by the art of some new person, never seen before, you know, unassuming, you know, shy.
Someone who doesn't even consider themselves a musician. Right, they're like, oh, no, I'm a biologist.
Self-deprecating. You know? Yeah, they're just like, oh, my stuff is garbage. And they're like the most amazing thing ever. And so that's the spirit, you know, I think we try to convey, you know.
And it's hard to get people to believe that you mean that.
Oh, yeah, because it's... Well, here's a clue. We have no commercials. Like, who would do this kind of work? Like... Like, who does this?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do.
Right.
But, I mean, for the arts, for whatever your passion is, like, I mean, it is legit, you know, it's a labor of love. It's fun.
I connect with that. And, You're right. It is hard to prove to people that you're really doing this.
I'm not trying to prove it. Right, I would listen to the podcast myself with the five listeners.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly.
Of course, we want people to like it. Of course, we would love people to listen.
But you do it for yourself. But first.
That's how it started. Nobody, you know, like nobody. Seven folks sitting around smoking cigarettes in a one bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening to that. Yeah. on one mic.
You didn't even like
it.
Yeah. That was like before I started doing it. And like, Ryan didn't even put it on iTunes or like try.
Yeah, I put it on. Yeah.
It was on SoundCloud. Maybe shared on Facebook.
but it was,
Well, so I'm really interested because, you know, something that we've really gained from the experience of doing this so frequently and talking to so many different folks is like what we've learned about ourselves and about art making and about Chicago. Like what would you say are like some of the things that like you've learned about, like what would you say is like the best lesson that you've taken away from like talking to someone that you like whose experience is foreign to yours?
Best lesson.
I mean, I'm continuously shocked by very talented folks not like seeing their potential or wanting to produce, you know, a lot more of what they are saying their passion is, and what their passion is, you know, the art they're putting out is amazing to me, you know. I've just like learned to, I guess, just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, just do it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was gonna say. But in regards to events and stuff, like I've seen so many great, different kinds of events that were in any sort of licensed venue, everything from comedy to art and in the street and all this stuff, and like logistics aside, if you have an idea for something, Chicago, you can pull it off. You can find the team, you can find the resources, you can find people who are excited. Yeah. Like you can do it.
It could be hard as fuck, but it could happen.
Yeah. We could throw a show right here in this living room. We didn't even have to clean up.
Family, my cats.
That's how we met Raheem, was in a show in our living room.
Point proven.
Well, so this is actually really relevant to another kind of thing that we end up talking about a lot, which is, you know, Chicago, there is so many talented people here. And in so many ways, like, it deserves to be... And even me saying this phrase right now, like, I'm second-guessing it because I don't want to sound like what I think Chicago needs is to be New York. Because I don't think that.
The people of New York's seem to have a loyalty to New York art more so than Chicago does. But it's also... There's also another aspect that's very business-like and inflated that isn't...
It's very transactional.
As, I guess, kind, you know.
Well, and I think that, like, for people that are like, Chicago's scene needs to develop, I guess, like, for people that are in that headspace, like, I think that, you know, if I'm playing that, like, trying to understand where they're coming from, I think, like, what Chicago, like... There aren't enough people that, like, are making art and can afford to live, you know? Yeah. Like, from... That, I think, is a really tricky thing. And so, that is something that I am thinking about a lot, you know? Especially, like, being an entity that is looking to continue to evolve and wants to continue to grow. Like, the idea of... And, you know, this is really relatable to a thing that we talk about on the podcast with, like, urban planners and stuff, which is this whole idea of, like, development without displacement. Where it's like, all things are going to grow, right? Like, all things are going to develop. But, like, how do we make sure to not make it shitty and white and gentrified and, like, all of this stuff? And so, I'm really curious kind of how your perspective is on this, which is, like... What does Chicago becoming more sustainable, I guess, let's say, or like Like, what does that look like to you? Does that concept make sense? Like, yeah. And how does Chicago stay what makes Chicago unique?
Keep your money in your local communities. Shop at local stores. Don't shop at big brands. Go to local shows. Throw the dough to them. Or if you don't like their merch, just fucking throw them $3 on Bandcamp. Like, even the smallest amount of money, and let alone going to the show.
Stop getting on the guest list for when it's a $5 show, man. Like, yeah. Give them the money. It really, to me, at the end of the day, I think Chicago shows, the support is lacking because we don't really invest in the arts, like, on the grassroots level, mm-hmm. as much as we should. I make a point. I'll go on the shows and people try to let us in, you know. And I want to, you know, I could definitely. I'm broke as all hell too. But if I'm coming to your show, it's a $5, $10 donation.
Exactly.
That's the least I could do.
It's the least.
No. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to the club, to the licensed place, I'm gonna pay that. You know, so let's go. Let's, you know, I think that's really at the end of the day. So that, because there are people around here that can start record labels, that can start things that will elevate us and have good business practices and be sustainable, you know, but I don't think the support is there. So they leave.
They go to
New York, they go to LA.
I think another reason people leave for places like New York and LA and the struggle financially can be a little harder is Chicago doesn't have arts-based industries as much as LA or New York. Like, if you're a visual artist, for example, you can live in LA and be doing whatever, design or working in the film industry, or like, there's a bigger bar scene, and all, same with it's New York. You have other things though. To support you, though.
The mm-hmm. competitive factor, though, I don't know. I think that's what we're saying. I think there needs to be more investment here. I think it can be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the scared factor is. I don't know what the, are we still stuck in the Stone Age? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think that, like, one of the things for me. I'm sorry.
I was tricking. Yeah, go.
Really quickly. And then I'll let you definitely
you're like
jump
behind.
In.
This is something we've talked about, Maureen and I, because you're like behind a bookcase. Yeah. I feel terrible. Yeah.
That's okay. I think you touched on something really important, because art is wonderful and beautiful, but can only thrive when you're, like, fed, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, have a roof over your head. And, it can also thrive outside of that, of course, but if you're, like, feeling somewhat slightly comfortable in life, it's easier to produce and make and have the energy for art. Right. So investing in local businesses, in local stores, in local everything around
in
you.
In Scappy magazine.
That's right.
You gotta do it.
In What About Chicago.
Yeah. What About Chicago. Yeah,
Patreon.com/whataboutchicago.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes, plug it. So investing in all of the local entities that you spoke of. I mean, other places in the world do this. Like, in the Netherlands, they have a pretty great model for, like, really concentrated areas of different parts of cities that serve every part of that community. Like, they have grocery stores, they have, like, clothing stores, they have appliance stores, everything you could possibly need, and they have local artisans, and they have, like, all this local art, and everyone actually checks it out because the whole community is constantly reinvesting in itself. So people, like you said, weren't going off, Ben, I think you said this, weren't going off to, like, mainstream big box retailers all the time for everything, mm-hmm. regardless of what it is, and we're actually giving back to the people in their community, in their neighborhood, we would have a stronger sense of not just community, but community art.
Well, and that's what's so frustrating to me about folks in Chicago is that, like, we have that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
we do.
Like,
we,
all there for us. Like, yeah. we live in Andersonville. Like, there's a hardware store down the street
yes.
from us. There's, you know, there's Edgewater Produce right up there. There's, you know, like,
equidistant uptown, where there's, like, the cheapest groceries you can get, and that's the freshest shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
and we're getting
we drive by them, pass them up.
That's and then go
we're
to
the co-op in uptown too.
And it's like, yeah. you know, and that's what's so frustrating to me is that people, I think, get caught up in convenience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is really, so this is a kind of another thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately, which is, you know, one piece to the, I think all of this too, is that Chicago's has so much free content, you know, like even from the like mainstream Chicago level, like Grand Park Music Festival, they do concerts almost every night and they're free to go to, and it's like a full orchestra and all of this stuff. And what that means is like, that is like of the thing on a potential audience member's like list of things I could go to, there's a lot of free stuff. And that's like, of course, that's fantastic that there are options for people to see things like accessibly and affordably. But you know, I keep tying it back to like, weirdly, it was like a conversation I had with my dad recently, which is, which I'm not just bringing this up because Father's Day is this weekend, but here we are.
But also Father's Day is this weekend.
But the idea that like, what, you know, like I think a lot about it from the journalism aspect, because that's like what we do a lot with the magazine, but the idea that like back in the day you'd buy a newspaper for $2 and you'd buy a print version, but now we live in the age of the internet. In some ways that's fantastic, like anybody can start a thing and anybody can do a thing, but like people don't expect to pay for anything.
Yeah.
Not for anything, like some things, but like there's a
for
way
for quality.
Yeah.
No, it is an expectation, because I actually used to buy the paper every day. I hope I'm not dating myself.
You are my
but
dude.
Then no, now there is like there's subscription, like New York Times and different ones,
and
where you want to get
the
subscription, and I don't do it because I feel like it should be, it's on the internet, it should be free,
right?
And well, that's wild, like doesn't really make sense.
Well, like when we were redesigning our website, something our graphic designer brought up to us was the possibility of setting up a paywall, and we were like, if we set up a paywall, no one would come to our fucking site. Like, we're, like, you know, we get a decent amount of traffic, and honestly, it's because it's free.
Yeah. And I think that, like, if we set up a paywall, people would do it, but it would be the people that we were trying to feature. And that's, I think, the hardest thing for me is, like, I recognize that, like, sometimes your audience, like, yeah, we have audience that aren't just people that we feature. We have, you know, the site does, I'm always shocked at how well the website does.
Yeah.
But, like, I also know that, like, people that, like, listen to the podcast, that's more that kind of, like, they're friends. They're people that I know that are creating stuff. And I think that, you know, that's, I think, a really hard thing to balance, is, like, wanting to see something thrive in a way that, like, can be more powerful, but also recognizing that, like, you know, I don't want to be hitting up my friends for, like, donations and shit. Like, why would, like, I don't know.
I mean, all my friends can pay, including myself, I pay $10 a month for fucking Netflix, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want to donate $2 a month to the community garden I tell all my friends and family about, so I look cool and my coworkers, or
if we got dollar from all of y'all,
it's like
it'd be amazing.
It's like something about when people like know individually the person creating the content, I think like brings forward this like all sorts of preconceived notions where it's like, oh, I'm going to give Raheem $1 a month. Like, I know he just throwing this shit together for the five.
He just,
you know,
chilling. He drinking the whiskey.
Or whatever. like, I'll notice that for bands. I used to work at a coffee shop, and just, like, I would play music I discovered from doing the show over, like, the speakers I thought would play would good. And people would come up to me asking about stuff sometimes. And I eventually just stopped completely telling people that bands were local, because I noticed as soon as I was like, oh yeah, they're these local guys, they're called Bloom, whatever, like, people immediately are just like, oh, whatever. But if you're just like, yeah, they're Bloom, like, check them out, they got a couple albums on Spotify, people are,
they'll
like,
go.
It gives them a sense of legitimacy because
the
of
mystery.
That distance.
Yeah.
And I don't know
once
what
the mystery's
it is.
Gone.
Yeah.
So weird. I love to meet artists. And the fact, and the thing that pisses me off about mainstream artists is the fact that they're so inaccessible, which, like, I get it. But, like, also, I want to meet and talk to the people that are art I'm, like, experiencing.
Well, we've, like, fetishized celebrities so intensely that, like, there's like a select few of artists that are like absurdly rich because, you know, they live in New York or they're from LA, and you know that, like, in so many cases there are people that are making just as interesting work locally.
Yep.
Like, that I think was a shocking thing to me. Was that when you first started recognizing that, like, the quality of the work being done here is on par with other spaces. Was that shocking to you?
I don't think about other spaces at all. I couldn't care less what's going on in New York.
Has that always
LA,
been? Is that always
yes. anywhere? Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Like, I just want to hear your art and see your and see it. And like, yeah. if I like it, it's cool. That's dope. If I like the concepts, like, I'm never like, oh yeah, I'm all about the North Dakota scene right now, all about the, you know, New York stuff, or not about it. Like, I don't care. I want all humans to create, and I live in Chicago, and I live Chicago every day, so that's what I'm going to try and promote, because I want everyone I meet to be successful.
Same, and I guess I don't know if I'm getting the question clear, but I know we talk about fetishizing artists and stuff. And then, like, were we shocked at, like, the quality or the impact? Like, I don't know. I'm surprised. And I don't know if you guys have gotten this, because, I mean, your podcast is amazing. Scappy Mag is amazing. ScappyMag.com.
It's lit. plug.
But, like, sometimes I'm around town, I be with my kids or my mom, and somebody will come up to me like, what about Chicago? Like, that stuff kind of like surprises me, because it's like, what, how do you just run into the five listeners in this big city like that?
Yeah, that tugs on my heartstrings,
like,
a little bit,
you know. That's cool. But no, Chicago has the best art anywhere, and let's go.
You gonna tweet that, my dude? Right.
I just did. just did. At Raheem Salam.
Nice. So y'all are on Patreon. Do you like that experience? How long have y'all been on Patreon?
We've been on Patreon for like a year, maybe a little less, 9 months. I love it. I love that system. I think it's amazing. It can be as complex or as simple as you want. I wish I put more time into it and made it more rewarding for our donors.
Yeah, we've been flirting with ideas of,
I've been looking and studying other people's stuff, and like, you can monetize it really, really well, especially if you have a good reward system, lots of content, a good combination of public and paid posts on there. For us, we have some friends and family and fans who all throw, you know, $1 to $5 a month. It gets us like $50 a month. We just bought a bunch of new mics and cables and all this
much
stuff
needed.
With it.
That's
thank you guys so
feeling.
Much. I love all of you.
Yes.
And it's there's
we need
gonna
some
be more
computers,
mics. We're gonna get
y'all.
More mics.
We need two high powered computers,
and
yo.
Man, I trip. Like, I don't know, man. Well, if we had like $1 from every listen we get every week, even like per month, we would be. It's just crazy, you know. But yes, I love the Patreon model. Everyone should support all the anything they're interested
it's
in there
it's
for $1 a month.
Yeah.
It's like Kickstarter, but not as late.
I'm bad at fundraising, but also ask the people for money. You should like.
It's
money,
okay. It's
like,
okay to ask for money.
They ask you probably, and they just asking to borrow it. Like, for you know, so you're doing. Everybody's doing good work. Scabby Magazine asked them for money. I support the paywall.
Oh, God. Yes.
I go on record supporting the paywall. The
what
content
the
in the magazine is lit.
What
oh God!
The-
no, wait. Let's.
I want it on the record that he also said he didn't go to New York Times because there's a paywall.
Hey,
but also that's
also
New York.
On record.
Yeah.
What about Chicago?
Cool.
I want to ask more about QUE4. That's a recent development, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh man, shout! I can't say enough about the work that's being done at Q4. QUE, the number 4.org. They have a great radio station online, and they also have a great facility that does a lot of work with all walks of life, events, art.
It's great. Great
T-shirt
businesses.
Printing.
Comic, drawing, video, radio.
Shouts out to John Ibarra.
Ibarra
and his crew, that Missy Perkins, everybody that works at Q4. Yeah, we're syndicated there.
1680 AM, Fridays. It's also at on 1680
AM. They've got some new moves coming up too. They're always getting bigger and better. But yeah, every Friday 2 PM we're on that station.
I'm really happy about that development. Q4 is an amazing arts organization in general.
They've been around in different
for like a decade. They used to run the multi-culti space for a while, which was an incredible DIY-ish. They exist in a very good, legit space where while still being like very true.
Yeah, well, we say ish because they're so fucking organized. They're great.
They're walking around at the show with walkie talkies and earphones, like chucking on their status.
They're like DIY as a MF.
But they also like work really hard with people of color and with the youth and all sorts of stuff. Do all sorts of great programming outside of the radio station. Lots of great festivals and markets and all that sort of stuff.
So you can tell we're really excited about Q4.
And you know,
no, we've always been dealing with them, and they happen to reach out and be like, "Yo, yeah, let's play the show, and you know, people like this, let's go."
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I want to ask about. Sorry, I just
almost no, it's okay. I'll just rant.
Just keep talking about that's Q4. Very relatable. Yeah. Well, I want to ask about like the idea of you know, one of the things that we touch on a lot with our work and with other people's work is this idea of collaborating as an entity. I think that can be a really tricky space, like because you know it's one thing to collaborate as an individual, but when like it's a like you know you do this thing where you're like, okay, like we both represent ourselves, but like. What about Chicago, like, as a brand? Like, is that, when you go into collaboration with these other spaces, like, is that something that you find yourself making sure to, like, check in with, like, are we doing the right thing by what we've established as an entity identity, or?
I mean, we're flexible. We want it always. I mean, we want it to be in the spirit of, you know, it's got Chicago, you know, sort of like underground
open.
DIY.
Open
you know,
door.
Open, you know, accessible, all walks of life, no discrimination, anything. Mm. So we keep up with that. But like, you know,
we don't stress the brand too hard.
No, like, not at all. No. And the brand speaks for itself. It's Chicago centric. You know, it is all things, you know, grassroots art Chicago, and with Q4 they're all about that. Their history is about that.
And
Machine Culture, machineculture.com, the Machine Culture Collective, they have a bunch of podcasts, local artists, local art,
they have like
comedians,
12.
You know, stories, all on their website, and we're also featured with them as well, and they do a great job.
Cool.
Of spreading the word, you know, for the culture.
And like as far as when we're starting to collaborate with Machine Culture Collective or like Q4, I don't know if I can speak for Raheem, but like I don't think we ever go into these situations thinking about how we're gonna represent the brand, because like the brand represents us as individuals more or less. Like it's pretty, we're open books, like, we say what we think. If we don't like it or we don't want to do it, like, that's it. You're going to know, and and in the most polite and peaceful way, hopefully, and, like, that's it, you know? And it's all love, it's all easy going. And I think that is the What About Chicago brand, I guess, if it's anything.
So. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does, absolutely.
I wanted to touch on something you said earlier for just a second. DIY-ish. It's very funny that you use that word, because we were just talking about this the other day about how like we're looking at some of the things we cover specifically in the DIY like theater and performance section, and how like some of the places we cover are not quite DIY. They're DIY-ish.
Same.
Like you were saying. Like, same. They still have the heart and spirit.
Shouts out to Emporium and Empty Bottle.
Exactly.
All of those places.
They got the spirit.
They got to bring the DIY, though.
Yeah, so, they got the start in DIY. But then, you know, they're getting more established, but they're trying to stick to their roots of being open, collaborative, accessible, intersectional spaces. And I think that's what makes it really DIY-ish.
Well, and I think it's important that, like, you know, I think that it would be really... I think that it would be really easy to like look at an entity that like is starting to do well and be and like write them off, being like, yeah. Oh, well, they're not struggling anymore, so they're not DIY. But it's like, I think that as long as a group is like, I think that as long as a group is like staying like connected to their roots and connected to the community, like that's all that really matters to me.
Yeah. Right.
No, I agree. I mean, sometimes we, so kind of the way I approach this on What About Chicago is I kind of throw a little like shade or misnomer, like,
just to light this shade.
Yeah, like, oh, established place, you know, doing things by the book, business-like, but y'all, you guys, if you keep, like, if you keep having these great, very authentic, talented, local DIY supporters performing, I fuck with you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I will
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That's how you get me. So, yeah, have them, pay them, treat them right.
Give them free beer yeah. if they want it and plenty of water.
And we can coexist because we're going to have to coexist.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going down tearing down the bars or anything. So, we're going to have to.
Oh
so,
gosh.
No, it's cool and in that way. And I know there's a lot of comedy venues that's like that, a lot of theater venues that's like that, a lot of
they
music venues that's like that.
See what
so
they
it is.
And I mean, I don't know if I'm getting old or not, but like, I don't care as much about the gatekeeping anymore. Like, I kind of look at it as like, do you have a license to do this in a giant production team, or are you like a small group of individuals? That the latter is more important to me. Because we say on the show, too, like, the bars are going to be fine. Emporium don't need our help.
Right.
Like, if
exactly.
we're talking about an event like that, we're talking about it for the bands or for
we
the vendors.
We want them to
or,
get a good crowd, get the bag, as we
but
say.
You talk about, you bring up DIY with 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different definitions. So, like, why even focus on that now? I just want to focus on the art.
We use that loosely, too. Yeah. I don't, yeah, we're not like, this is DIY, like, scent. We use that so you kind of know what we're talking
so
about.
So you know you ain't going to Talia Hall.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're not like, yeah, exactly.
And the people still, I had someone last week be like, yo, that show you told me about, that's at a house? And I was like, yeah, dude. And they're like, and I can just walk in? I was like, yeah, they expecting you, but they ain't expecting you. You know what I'm saying?
Can I take 1 minute real quick?
Yeah.
Great.
Definitions.
Yeah.
So that's it's just about it's cool.
Making the people aware.
Yeah, making them aware.
Should we ask about the future?
Yeah.
So, I mean, right now y'all are doing pretty well. You're on a bunch of different art collectives and radio organizations. It's really cool. What are you thinking for the future? What About Chicago?
I want to quit my job and work What About Chicago full time.
Woo!
Same. But most importantly, man, now we love this work.
Mm-hmm.
You never, you know, I don't really like to talk. I'm dedicated to this work. I don't like to talk about the future as I get older. I mean, we make plans. I know it's good to make plans. We have the model in place. But you never know what's going to happen, man. You know,
true.
Life is very fast and free-willing and surprising sometimes. So plans are in place. We always want to keep, we look at this as an institution. We want it to be, you know, I know when I look towards the future, I hope that one day if I do decide I don't want to do or I can't do What About Chicago anymore, there'd be another host.
Yes.
And it would just keep going.
I hope that.
You know,
pass
so
it down.
In that sense, that I guess that's kind of the plan. I always want that sort of spirit to be available for our five listeners and their offspring.
Also, if you're listening to this podcast and are coming from What About Chicago, go let Raheem know that you listen to the podcast. Because as a person that knows that feeling, you have more people that listen to your podcast than you think. And I'm not just saying
No, it
that,
is a joke.
Yeah.
It is a joke.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You know, but we just, we... It's a common trope, like podcasting, there's a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I always say there's somebody listening to Scappy Mag
former podcasts like this right now. All, you know, everywhere, there's somebody listening to Bento's, you know, he produced a beat tape somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere here in Chicago, somewhere in Germany, somewhere there. It's a lot of content, and we appreciate the five listeners and beyond.
We love you wherever you are.
We appreciate that people are listening. Yeah,
cool.
A lot of choices.
Yes.
Well, we have a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to make sure we ask about? We can go over a little.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Cool. Well, the last thing we do with all of our guests. Is a 1 minute plug for anything they have upcoming. Sometimes it's very obvious, like letting everybody know where they can find your work, where they can find your podcast, where they can find everything and how to support you. Otherwise, we love hearing about other folks that you think are doing dope work, or any media that you're consuming, self-care wise or otherwise, music, movies, TV shows, stuff like that.
Okay. July 6th at Gallery Cabaret, we have a band, Sex No Babies, that's going to be playing. Also on the 16th at the Auxiliary Arts Center. And we're playing, let's see, what else? We have you guys coming on the podcast
next week. Yes, that's right.
And then we got...
When is the show airing?
Probably tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's see.
What day is today? Today's
Thursday. So I think that we're going to put this... tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
So Tuesday at Crown Liquor, there's some great friends of ours, Sam Larson, Marianne Michael, and Elijah Burlow playing at Crown Liquors for free.
God, Sam Larson. Oh my God.
Check out, you know, the Hostel Euphoria on Facebook, all the projects, everyone. There's great stuff on there. I don't know. There's so much
good
stuff.
June 23rd, pizza party at Caliwalkie.
I just saw that.
Hit us up, man. Facebook.com/whataboutchicago. I'm going to be performing Freddie Old Soul, Vamos, Little Church. It's going to be amazing. Pizza everywhere. Stay hungry.
Dojo TV. Check out Dojo TV. Facebook, Instagram.
Sex No Babies new video. Sexnobabies.bandcamp.com. RahimSalam.bandcamp.com.
BentoChicago.bandcamp.com.
Glad Rags.
Peggy Tender Ass.
Bandcamp.com, right?
GladRags.club.
Let's go.
That's it. Let's go. For real.
Just hit us up, y'all.
At any point in time, Euphoria, for real, Chicago, you can message me or Raheem, and we will tell you what's going on that night, invite you out, or like let you know what's good.
Real time.
We're friendly. You can approach us whenever. Just don't get too out of hand.
I'm scared of everybody, but I will. I do love you.
In fact, we love you wherever you are.
Yes. But what about scappymad.com?
Oh my God.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Dayan Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
And I am Danielle Levski.
Before I get into our regular stuff, is there anything that that you want to plug that is recent? On the underground section? Do you want me to do my bit and then you can do that after?
I have some things coming up I can talk about.
Sure. Yeah.
So the Runaways put on a show called The Blue Hour a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and shouts out to the Runaways. They used to sponsor What About Chicago? I'm sorry.
They're super awesome.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So we have an experimental review,
Expression
coming out soon in response to that, and plugging the future Coven Rave series that they're working on, as well as some other fun things, like for instance coverage of the Shithole.
Yes.
Zach Bartz, what up?
There you go. I did the thing.
Nice. Cool.
Love it.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Dan Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
Oh, we just did this already. If you want to keep up with what we're up to, there are so many ways you can do that. The first and most important is to head over to scappymag.com. That's scappimag.com. We post all of our articles and podcast episodes there. You can also keep up with us on social media, on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called Scappy Magazine. We also have a Facebook group called Sounding Board. It's a space that we love and adore that we've cultivated with friends and family? No.
Shows and family.
I think my brother's in there.
Yeah, and your cousin.
Oh, my cousin! Brendan's in there. That's right.
Yeah.
Damn, my cousins. I don't even... All right.
Gotta hit up the cousins. Anyway, you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr under Scoppy Mag, and you can find our podcast under most podcast places under Scoppy Radio.
And I'm here to talk about the importance of subscribing. If you head to our website, scoppymag.com, and head to our subscribe section, there are a bunch of ways that you can do that. The first is to sign up for email blasts, which will tell you every time we post something on our site. This is hugely important because even though we post across social media platforms, Facebook eats our shit. So if you want to see 100% of what we're doing and not just 30%, I recommend hitting up those email blasts. The other way that you can help us out is by becoming a member. For $5 a month, you're going to get a pin or like a button. At $10 a month, you're going to be on the guest list for when we start producing house concerts on the regs. So
yes,
give at that $10 a month level. We're looking for 9 more people to sign up for that for us to be able to actually do it the way we want to do it. And then...
which is paying the performers.
Which is paying the performers. And then also, if you're interested in advertising with us, please feel free to reach out to us at scoppymag@gmail.com. So give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. I have one last thing I want to say that I'm only doing because I want to plug two things that are helpful to us and I know would also be helpful to y'all. On any social media platform, find the, like, notify me whenever they post thing for What About Chicago. I mean, do for Scoppy Magazine too, but yes. I'm saying that because I know that y'all need this too, like, definitely. Because that is so helpful. Even just throwing a like on a thing pushes it up in the algorithm. It's such a big deal.
Yeah,
I do that for like movers and shakers. Yeah. I'm into in the moment, so mm-hmm. I can stay hip. So
yep.
listen and do it.
That, yeah. And then the other thing I was gonna say, I totally forgot what it was, but it was another really important thing.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's not your fault. It's entirely my fault.
I don't know. Ba-ba-ba.
Patreon.com. What About Chicago? That's super important.
Yeah, please.
Go leave a review on iTunes.
That's
go
the one.
To
that's
iTunes
the
and leave
one.
A review for What About Chicago.
I should
Chicago.
Do another push for that,
you,
too.
See, I don't use...
We got, like, 4...
I used to do iTunes. I don't... I mean, I'm in it, but... Are you guys on iTunes?
Yeah.
I'll fucking leave a review for you. Yeah, I just don't really use that medium anymore.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So.
With my iPhone.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Go ahead and make something.
I have to say...